All right, are you guys all ready to get started out there? We're having an intimate gathering tonight. The Cinco de Mayo or the sun, I don't know what happened, but we're glad you guys are here, and we're glad everyone's listening on KRFY. Welcome to the forum. This is for candidates in county contested races. There's only two contested races that we have up here tonight. Bonner County District 2 Commissioner, with Jeff Roberts and Asia Williams, both Republican, and we have the Bonner County Clerk, which is Spencer Hutchings and Roger Rudd, Republican, both Republicans. Joanne Guzzi withdrew from the race. She is on the ballot, but she withdrew from the race, so just FYI. Just a couple things to get started with before we get going. If you need to ask a question, find Rafe, where are you? There you go. Just raise your hand in the air if you'd like a note card. He'll drop one off to you, and you can write a question, and then do the same if you'd like him to pick it up. We collect the questions here, and when we get started, we will ask the questions of the candidates. Please, that's perfect timing. Please turn off your cell phones or turn it on silence. I don't really tolerate any heckling or any outbursts, so if I have to tell you twice, we're going to have to ask you to leave. We're very friendly here. Everything's cool with everybody. So passions run high in elections. Let's just keep the passion at the ballot box. Everyone's here to listen to the candidates, not to the audience. So I appreciate you guys observing that. This forum is sponsored by The Reader, the 88.5 KRFY, Bonner County Daily Bee, sandpointonline.com, and the Selkirk Association of Realtors. KRFY is streaming this live, and they're going to have a recap available to listen to on KRFY.org later. I know the Reader is going to have a recap in the May 7th edition, and I'm sure the Bee will have a recap tomorrow or the next day. I'm not sure of their production schedule, but just check out those outlets for a recap. And primary elections on May 19th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. IdahoVotes.gov. is a great resource to find your polling place. Early voting is underway until May 15th. The hours at the Bonner County Elections Office are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So that cuts off Friday, May 15th at 5 p.m. And the deadline to request a mail-in absentee ballot is May 8th at 5 p.m. All right, without further ado, are there any uncontested candidates tonight that wanted to give an introduction? Do we have any? Okay, Steve Smith. So we're going to invite the uncontested candidates up if you'd like to do an introduction. Steve Smith, you're District 1, Bonner County Commissioner.
Good evening, all. Is that better? Okay. All right. So my name is Steve Smith, and I'm the Republican candidate for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. And as you've heard, we have this May 19th date upcoming here, and that's the primary, and we would ask you to have that on your calendars. I want to begin by making it clear that I stand for genuine conservative values. I have three main pillars to my campaign, just so that you can get a sense of the structure there. First of all, I want to exercise fiscal restraint and maximize efficiency without compromising essential services. And the idea there is to protect Bonner County taxpayers from unnecessary taxes. Also, I want to base policy decisions on objective truths found in our constitutions, and especially to protect your right to own and use and manage your private property. I am also committed to professional, lawful, and transparent governance to protect county taxpayers from expensive legal missteps. Before I ask for your vote, I should probably give you just a little information about myself. I was born and raised in Coeur d'Alene. I've lived in Bonner County for 47 years. My wife and I have 5 children and 6 grandchildren, several of whom live here in our county. I graduated from the University of Idaho in 1974 and then from its College of Law in 1977. And my first job was as a law clerk to the First Judicial District judges. Then I practiced law here in Sandpoint for more than 47 years, and the last 24 of those years were as a small business owner at the intersection of First Avenue and Superior Street here in Sandpoint. And I, during that time, advised numerous local governments, and I focused on problem solving to give government clear advice of their legal alternatives and likely results. And I also helped local government officials apply the law to achieve the goal of protecting the rights of local citizens while protecting against the waste of taxpayers' dollars in needless litigation. Some of the ways that my family and I have been involved in our community include putting on programs to honor veterans and July 3rd patriotic programs, coaching junior and senior high school sports league teams, chairing boards of directors of local nonprofit organizations, putting on local courses, teaching about the U.S. Constitution and the Idaho Constitution, and also serving as treasurer for the Bonner County Republican Central Committee. You may be wondering why I would be running for county commissioner, and I'd like to give you my 3 main reasons for that. My number one reason for running is that I believe that serving as a county commissioner would give me an opportunity to give back to the county. This is the county where I raised my family. This is the county where my children and grandchildren are living, and we hope to be able to live here and make it the very best county that we possibly can. My second reason for running is that I firmly believe that with my legal eyes on the county, we can do better by avoiding the legal missteps of the past. And then my number 3 reason for running is that I believe that serving you as a county commissioner is a place where my skill set fits best. My training and experience in advising local governments have prepared me to be able to avoid the kinds of past mistakes that have happened, to save the cost of mistakes, and to build trust. And a county commissioner has a legislative and executive and judicial function, and I believe that I have the skill set to be able to do each one of those jobs and benefit the county. So on May 19th, I would ask you to please vote for Steve Smith for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Are there any more uncontested candidates? Oh, Fred Arn, you want to come up and give an introduction, Fred? Fred Arn is running District 1, County Commissioner, Independent, correct?
That's correct.
Correct.
And tonight I want to explain to you very quickly why I'm running as an independent. In a previous lifetime, you all paid for me to train communists after the Soviet Union fell. And the values of a free press and democracy. I found that kind of interesting, considering that when I was 18, I joined the Marine Corps to kill communists. So it was a really interesting change of responsibilities, duties. And I learned more from them than I think they learned from me. And what I learned was how that system functioned and how it was able to continue after the Soviet Union fell. Actually, we had, they weren't progressing very well. Well, we figured it out and did much better. But in learning how that came about, I learned, well, I observed something that has come up recently that really concerned me. And that was one party, one candidate, and you have the right to vote. When I saw that come about this time, this election period, it really concerned me. And it really concerned me that you didn't have the opportunity to make a decision as to what was best for you. And so I'm running as an independent, and I would appreciate your vote in November, the real election. And remember, vote person, not party. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Fred. Any other contestants before we get into the contested races? All right. We're going to go into introductions for Bonner County Commissioner District 2. Jeff Roberts, would you like to go first? Introduction. And we're going to give 3-minute introductions.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate you all showing up tonight. Thank you for the host for hosting this event. My name is Jeff Roberts, running for Bonner County Commissioner District 2. I'm a father, husband, family of six. We built our own home north of Priest River. First moved here to Idaho in 1990, left for a few decades, came back in 2019 with my family. I told my family, Bonner County is free because good people made it free and kept it free. And it's our responsibility to not just enjoy that freedom, but to do our part to maintain that. And that's part of why I'm running for county commissioner. I'm a small business owner, general contractor, residential home builder. Also have about a decade of experience working in the civil construction industry. Started out as just swinging a hammer, eventually worked my way up to superintendent. Been building homes here in North Idaho, mostly on rural properties since I got here in 2019. I'm a Christian, a conservative. I've spent most of my adult life volunteering for faith-based and conservative value organizations, Constitution Party, Campaign for Liberty, the John Birch Society, because I'm just really passionate about individual freedom and maintaining the cultures of the communities that we live in to ensure that these freedoms that we enjoy aren't taken for granted and that we can pass these on to our children. The three principles that are really important to me to bring to the Board of County Commissioners are to restore decorum and professionalism to the board after seeing so much chaos over the last several years. I also believe that county government and all government should be functional but limited. So we're not going to see county government disappear anytime soon. We have a constitutional responsibility to maintain critical services here in the county, but we want to keep that limited within those constitutional confines so that government is serving the people and not being authoritarian. And finally, I believe that our rights come from God. They are given to us by our Creator and enumerated in the Constitution. One of my biggest concerns is property rights becoming the number one target when government becomes authoritarian. I'm hoping to represent you on the Board of Commissioners on May 19th. I will be on your ballot. If you are a Republican registered anywhere here in the Bonner County District, please vote for me on May 19th. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That was Jeff Roberts, Republican for Bonner County Commissioner District 2. And we have Asia Williams, Republican incumbent for District 2.
All right, I am Commissioner Williams, currently holding the District 2 position. I grew up in a family that was filled with drug abuse and mental illness, and so I strove for educational and professional success. I have a lot of professional education that I have taken to the job of County Commissioner. I didn't just run for County Commissioner because somebody told me to when I ran. I was immersed in our community first. I was part of the Southwest Bonner County Coalition. We were addressing issues and concerns with land use. We were addressing issues and concerns with the way in which the county commissioners were functioning. I was involved before I ran for commissioner, and that's important. I do volunteer on a lot of various issues, from being part of the Medical Reserve Corps, because I'm also a nurse. I also teach a lot of education, especially with respect to suicide prevention. As you guys listen to the questions and answers that come forward, please focus on what the function of a county commissioner is and whether or not you're hearing those answers. When I ran for office, the community wanted somebody to focus on the budget. During the first 2 years while I was being treated in a less than kind way, I didn't give up. I focused on internal auditing. And whether people understand the difference or not of internal auditing, one of the biggest differences, external auditing is very high, internal auditing is very granular. While I was in the first 2 years of office, I was doing the work of focusing on the budget to make sure that your tax money stayed on that infrastructure that we so desperately need. In addition to internal auditing, I have been working closely with risk and claims in HR to reduce the claims. I've moved your experience rating in Bonner County from 117 to 0.87. That's significant in the amount of time that I've been in office. You have never seen a commissioner internally audit. That's actually a quote that I can take from Clerk Rosedale. You've never seen a commissioner focus as hard on the budget and identify where we're leaking money, your money, out of the budget. The reason to continue to vote for me is because as you hear me answer questions, I'm going to be specific about what the role of a county commissioner is and how I fulfill that for you and how I will continue to fulfill that for you. It is important to look for truth in these answers. It's important to ignore the lies that have been perpetrated by some in this room even as it regards to what I have done. And I hope that you listen for the content. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That was County Commissioner District 2, Asia Williams, Republican incumbent. We're going to move on to introductions for Bonner County Clerk. Going alphabetically, Spencer Hutchings, Republican. Introduction, 3 minutes, please.
I hate standing behind the podium. So I'm Spencer Hutchings. I've lived up here for I'm going on 15 years now. Moved from Yosemite in California. That's where I grew up, in that area. I went off to the Marine Corps for a few years, and when I got out of that, I did a lot of computer stuff, ended up buying a computer company and taking it from a bankrupt company to a company that was over $1 million in the first year that I had it. I also went off to, I had another computer company after that, and after that I went to go build hospitals. And when I went and built hospitals, that's really the experience that's pertinent to this job. What I did there was go into a system where they weren't really controlling the money very well. They weren't really auditing the money very well at the hospitals. And they were unable to do the budgets very effectively. I saw the problem, I figured out how we could solve it, and I worked on it, and I did get it solved to the point where, you know, by the time I left after about 10 years, everybody was using the system that I had developed to control their budgets, and it worked quite well. And I'm hoping that coming into the clerk's office in Bonner County, I can do a similar thing. I used to get paid a lot of money to think differently than other people. And it's because I did think differently than other people that they were willing to compensate me well. I could go into a situation, see what was going on, and figure out how to work through it when other people looked at it and they just saw a barrier. I would see a way around the barrier, through the barrier. So that's what I got paid to do, and I got pretty good at it. And working within the county government, I'm hoping, getting in there and seeing what everybody does, spending time with the employees, seeing what they do on a day-to-day basis, I can see they're doing a great job or see that they need help or figure out how to help them do their job a little bit better. I think a set of eyes that's not been constrained with, you know, too much rigidity for years, having some eyes look at something that actually isn't stuck in a box is going to help the county maybe work a little bit more efficiently, maybe a little bit more friendly, so that we can have better outcomes for the citizens of the county, because that's really what we want. We want to have a government that works for us, not against us. We want to be able to go into the county offices and have somebody with a smile help us, or at least if they don't have a smile, they actually help us, and we feel like we've had a service done for us and not to us. So, Spencer Hutchings, I would appreciate your support on May 19th. Thank you.
All right, Spencer Hutchings, Bonner County Clerk, Republican, and now we have Roger Rudd, Republican, Bonner County Clerk.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. My name is Roger Rudd, and I'm running for Bonner County Clerk. I am a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel. I spent 30 years on active duty. I'm a graduate of the Marine Corps University's Command and Staff College, and I hold a bachelor's degree from American Public University. I'm married to my wife, Cindy, who's sitting up here in the white jacket there for a little over 38 years. We have two beautiful grown children that are married, and we have 8 grandchildren that all reside right here in North Idaho with us. So we're super blessed in that regard. We became North Idaho residents in 2006, and we moved permanently to Bonner County in 2020. So the top two questions that I get when I'm out and about meeting people is one is, why are you running for clerk? And then the other one is, what are your qualifications for a clerk? So number one, the reason I'm running for clerk is because the door of opportunity was opened up for me to do so. Clerk Mike Rosedale is stepping down after 12 years of serving a county, decided he didn't want to run again. He recruited me, talked to me. I thought about running, went home, talked to my wife, my kids. We prayed about it and thought, you know what, this is an awesome opportunity. It's a door that the Lord's opened up for us to serve the citizens of Bonner County. And I was blessed to be recruited, and the trust from the guy that's been running that office and knows how to run it that he put in me. So I was very thankful about that, and we're going to take on that challenge. The other thing, the qualifications. Why am I qualified to do this job? The job of the county clerk is multifaceted. There's 5 distinct roles that he has. Clerk of the court, he's the auditor, he's the recorder, clerk to the board of commissioners, and also the chief elections officer. 5 distinct roles. I worked in multiple different lines of operation and logistics in the military for over 30 years. I have extensive program in finance, doing separate budgets, lines of budgets for different operations. You get money in the military for certain items, for equipment, for people, for supplies, for maintenance, all different operations. And those monies come from different places, much like the county gets revenues from 4 or 5 different funding streams. And then budgets have to be built on the budget that we have and then expended to make sure that we don't exceed our obligations. So I have lots of experience doing that. There's 40 people in the office. I have leadership experience starting in 1987, culminating in 2017 when I was a senior Marine at the U.S. Transportation Command's offices there at Scott Air Force Base in Southern Illinois. So the job fits extremely well into my wheelhouse, and I was honored to be recruited, and I'm very proud to become the county clerk for you and serve this county well. And I will say that Joanne Guzzi is the third candidate that's on the ballot, and she's dropped out and endorsed me. Thank you.
All right, that was Roger Rudd, Republican for Bonner County Clerk. That's the end of the introductions. We're going to go right into questions. The questions we're asking are all from you in the audience and also for those listening at home and that have emailed us prior to the forums. We're consolidating them to help eliminate any redundant questions. So we're going to launch right in. Candidates. So we'll give you 2 minutes each to answer each question. We're going to start with the commissioners. This is kind of a two-part here. The past couple of years, the commissioners' meetings have been filled with drama. What will you do to make it less Jerry Springer? And also tell us about your experience serving in government. We're going to start with Asia Williams. You have 2 minutes, please.
So the public actually addressed the issue with the meetings when Mr. Bradshaw and Mr. Omot were removed from office. If you've watched our meetings have actually been going very well, so I don't believe that is an issue any longer. Our meetings have been productive. You saw me bring back public comment, not just at the end of meetings, but on every single agenda item, pulling the community back into the business meeting that belongs to them. And so I have been serving as your commissioner, and one of the things that has always been my focus as Bonner County Commissioner for District 2 is ensuring the public has a seat in every single decision that we're making. So I hold town halls. I actually just finished a Spirit Valley town hall where I have taken into consideration always what is the public having an issue with and how do they need their commissioners to address it. A representative, a true representative, is somebody that actually hears what the people are saying and addresses those issues and concerns. And those issues and concerns I take dearly. For every time that we have had a land use decision, I listen to absolutely every single public comment. I listen to what the developers have to say, and I make very clear, conscious decisions. One of the ways that decorum is returned by electing those who actually understand the job function and are willing to endure. For the first 2 years, while I was enduring a very hard board, my actions were very clear and focused on doing what I was elected to do. I didn't engage. I didn't respond. I don't owe an apology to Bonner County for defending myself against the death threat, and I'm hoping actually that members of the community aren't expecting that. I wasn't part of it. I was a recipient of a prejudice system at the very beginning. But that went away, and you guys are seeing that right now. You're seeing the success of Bonner County, and it has nothing to do with decorum issues because those things went away when you guys voted on our last election to remove those two commissioners.
Thank you, Asia. Do you need the question read over?
Sure, go ahead and repeat it.
The past couple of years, the commissioners' meetings have been filled with drama. What will you do to make it less Jerry Springer? And tell us about your experience serving in government.
That's a good question, and I think people have witnessed that over, especially the last few years. So, I mean, things like bringing karaoke boxes into your own commissioners' meeting that are very disruptive when you're trying to cultivate an environment of professionalism and mutual respect, calling names to other elected officials, arguing, berating employees. We've seen a lot of loss of employees over the last several years due to so much of the contention within government, and these are department heads and people that were very good assets to the county. As a business owner, you know that you have to treat the people that you work with, the people that work for you, with respect and decorum. And I think as an elected representative, it's extremely important that you conduct yourself in a way that you can be proud of and that represents the people of your county, to where you don't have this reputation that I think Bonner County has received over the last several years of just being bedlam within those commissioners' meetings. My role in government has been primarily standing up for citizens within my own communities, primarily on land rights and over due process issues. This is my first step into politics because I'm not a politician. I'm just a citizen who really cares about the community, and having seen how bad the rest of the country has gotten, I don't want to see that happen here in Bonner County. My children live here, and over the next 4 years, they'll become adults. I don't want them to have to leave Bonner County because it's become something that they no longer recognize and a place that they no longer want to live.
Okay. And we had a call for rebuttal, Asia. And rebuttals, anywhere from 30 to a minute, so just try to keep them short.
All right. I did bring that karaoke machine in during one of the meetings, and if you actually were present, it wasn't to elevate my voice, it was to elevate the voice of the people that the other two commissioners stifled. With respect to the other comments about employees, these are just allegations that somebody's making that are not founded in terms of what has been happening in Bonner County. So one thing that's very important is we can't allow people just to make broad comments sweeping and hope that it sticks. It needs to be true. We actually have a very good staff. I have worked very well with staff. I actually work very closely with HR and risk because we need to address one of the biggest leakages of our budget. And so it's important that we accurately represent statements that are made. That machine was used one time, and it was to elevate the people, and it actually worked because your voice got put back on our agendas.
Thank you. So I'm starting to hear a little grumbling out there. I wasn't joking earlier when I said no heckling. If I catch it again, I'm going to ask you to leave, okay? Does everybody understand that in the room? Thank you. All right, moving on to the next question. This is for the clerks. Do you think Idaho has significant voter fraud? And if so, what do you plan to do about it? And we're going to start with Roger Rudd, please. And you have 2 minutes.
That is a very direct question. Do I think there is significant voter fraud in the state of Idaho? And the answer is no. There is not a significant voter fraud in the state of Idaho. And how do I know that? How can I make that declarative statement? Because when I entered into the race to become the county clerk for Bonner County, one of the primary roles for the county clerk is to be the chief elections officer for the county. So I've read reports, I've looked into how we do the voting process here, specifically in Bonner County, and I've actually read a report written by a clerk to the Idaho Association of Counties of how to identify fraud and how this specific county protects against it. We have lots of checks and balances put in place to make sure that there is no voter fraud. One of them is purging the voter rolls every 2 years. It's a four-year cycle. It's directed by statute. Secretary of State will also monitor that for us. So we go into the voter rolls every 2 years to make sure that people that are on those voter rolls are actually living where they're supposed to be living and are registered to vote, and that they have residency to vote in the precinct that they're in. So we do that every 2 years. It's a four-year cycle, but they do it every 2 years to make sure that they purge those voter rolls every 4 years. It takes place after every general election in November, and by statute, the county offices have, I believe, 120 days to get that done. So we have the best voter process in the 50 states. We abide by the National Voters Act and the other primary federal regulation that controls voting at the federal level. And our marching orders, other than internal to the office, come from the Secretary of State and the Idaho legislature and how we run those voter operations. And Bonner County is probably the best ran elections process in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you need the question again, Spencer?
Sure.
Do you think Idaho has significant voter fraud? And if so, what do you plan to do about it? 2 minutes.
I don't think it's significant. Significant, in my eyes, would mean that it's actually changing the results of the elections. And I don't think we're at that point. I've actually worked at the polls multiple times, so I know how the process works at the polling locations. I know how the votes are brought in and how we, you know, put them in the boxes and bring them off to the county office. And there's always multiple people watching these boxes so that hopefully they don't get tampered with on the way to the clerk's office. And there's observers at the clerk's office to make sure that the ballots are pulled out correctly and everything's done above board. And some of you may have even seen that they broadcast it. You know, you can go on the internet and you can watch them counting the votes. You can see the voting or the counting room. So I think it's fairly transparent up to that point. Now, what happens after they actually get counted? Is the digital security for the tallies, is that all done correctly? You know, when if there's any questions and we go back to count them again, does that all balance out properly? I think for the most part it has. So I think Bonner County, for the most part, has had some pretty clean elections. We probably need to be a little bit more careful about what's on our voting rolls. And I say that because Idaho is being sued right now because we won't turn over our voting rolls to the feds. The feds have asked us to turn over our voting rolls, and for some reason we've decided we're not going to do that. I don't know if we feel like we have something to hide or if we're just doing it to be obstinate, but if the feds want to look at our voting rolls, if we don't have anything to hide, let them look at them. Why not? Why wouldn't we let them look at them? So no, I don't think there's any significant fraud, but I do think there's some things that do need to be checked and looked into.
Thank you. Rebuttal, yes? Under a minute, please.
1 minute. So I'd like to comment on the Idaho turning over the voter rolls of Bonner County residents to the federal government. The Secretary of State said no can do, and I agree with him 100%. The voter rolls that we have are compiled with a lot of sensitive information that the county clerks in particular are required to protect, and so is the Secretary of State. There's nothing in Idaho statute that says, Secretary of State, you must turn over the voter rolls to the federal government. Why does the federal government need our voter rolls? Why do they need to know where you live, what your phone number is, what the email address that you gave to us, all the other personal sensitive information that you have given to your county office as a voter of Bonner County has no business just being sent willy-dilly to the federal government. I love the current administration, but they are not allowed to just come in here and bully voter rolls out of any county, much less the state.
A re-rebuttal, 30 seconds, please.
And that sounds great, right? But we all know across the country, there's a lot of places that do have problems with their voter rolls. And maybe when they look at ours, they'll see something that we're not seeing, or maybe they'll see that we're a shining example. But either way, somebody who has, you know, I have this security clearance and that security clearance should know that when that information is transmitted up to the feds are going to have a good security around that information too. It's not like they're going to broadcast it out on the internet. They want to see the rolls to check them to make sure that they're correct and that we don't have a bunch of fraud in them. Maybe they won't find anything. But if they do find something, wouldn't we like to know? Wouldn't we like to say, hey, Idaho's the best state in the entire country. Their rolls are nice and clean. It's perfect. I would like to know.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to the question for the county commissioners. What do you mean when you say you support private property rights, and how do neighbors' property rights play into that? And we are going to start with Jeff, please. Jeff Roberts. You have 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. So that's always the conundrum, individual property rights versus how what you do on your land affects your neighbors. I believe your land is your kingdom. Anything within those borders of your property should be free for you to utilize in the way you see fit, as long as you don't impact your neighbor in a negative way, create an extra tax burden, or additional burdens on county resources. So this is where your planning and zoning looks at those issues and says, okay, you know, if you're wanting to build additional homes on your property, how is this going to affect traffic? How is this going to affect your emergency services? What is this going to do to your neighbors as far as the tax burden goes? But I think we really want to do the best that we can to make sure government's not authoritarian and making things more difficult than it needs to be for citizens on their property. And so there's such a thing as light pollution or sound pollution or even fugitive dust. So even rural properties, when you think you're out in the middle of nowhere, what you're doing there doesn't affect anybody else. If you build a large mobile home park on a piece of private land and you have a lot of traffic, you're now contaminating the soil, that isn't a responsible use of your property in a way that's damaging your neighbor. But by the same token, I talk to people that are really frustrated because they want to build a chicken coop or a shop on their property and they don't want to have to go through additional red tape that's not required in order to be responsible on their own land. So I think that should be looked at. I've had a lot of meet and greets and meeting with people over the last several months and dealing with property issues over my lifetime as an adult. And there's a lot of different ideas out there on how to approach it and how to best meet those needs. But that's the balance between individual property rights and the sustainable growth of our county that has to be managed by the county via the Idaho Constitution. So getting your input as citizens is extremely important to see what you feel will best serve you from the county commissioner's office in giving you the rights that you need while still protecting the rights of your neighbors.
Okay. Asia, would you like me to read the question again?
No, I got it.
Okay. Yeah, you have 2 minutes, please.
All right. I think that one of the things that we have to remember is that the property rights for a county commissioner requires us to follow our local land use planning act. We have to take a look at our comprehensive plan. We also have to include our sub-area plans. That is probably one of the most difficult things that a commissioner does because there is impacts on both sides. And so it makes it very important that we follow all three of those when they're making those decisions. One of the things that I'd like you guys to reflect on as a community is you often saw land use decisions where it was a 2-to-1 vote, wherein I was making decisions where I was going line by line by line. If you look at our judicial reviews, almost every last one of those cases have come back to the county saying that we need to re-review those because I've done a very good job of balancing the property rights and developer rights such that it's in line with the rules that govern. As we have more communication with community on what we want, one of the things that Bonner County has to do better at is updating our comprehensive plan and keeping it updated in a more timely fashion than what it is. That way we're moving along with the property rights, with the changes that are occurring in Bonner County, because we need responsible growth and development. I'm fortunate enough that I get invited to participate with the National Builders Association and contractors and actually the economic housing forums, such that as we develop as Bonner County, we're doing what our comprehensive plan asks us. And one of the biggest things that we get told by our community is maintaining the rural character of Bonner County and balancing that with property rights. For example, when a cell tower wants to come in on a piece of property is difficult to do. But when you look at the decisions that I have made when it comes to property rights, you will see that I have paid attention to the impacts to every last one of your properties that have come through my review to ensure that one person doesn't benefit greater than another person when they're coming in requesting to do something that's different than what their property is zoned as. So property rights are important, but understanding how to balance them and what dictates is the job of a county commissioner, and I have successfully done those things.
Thank you. Thank. Rebuttal, yeah? Up to 1 minute.
Yeah, and that's been one of the things that I've heard from a lot of the citizens is their frustration with the fact that the comprehensive plan hasn't been moving forward, that it's been basically stalled, and they're pretty frustrated with that. One of the other big issues is about this time last year when an emergency agenda item was presented without notice to the public regarding land use, which ended up putting a moratorium on the minor land division, which I think almost everybody can agree was being abused by developers, but also put a moratorium on the family exemption, which allows families to either sell or gift a section of land to an immediate family member who must then hold that land for 4 years. The people were extremely upset that they were cut out of that conversation and that they weren't given notice so that they could be involved in that decision-making process. And I think that is a really telling sign to the overall frustration that people have with government, where they don't feel like they're being listened to and that government's operating with impunity. In fact, this year, when you look at Congress, they have an 86% disapproval rating, which is an all-time high. And I think that's a lot of what we're seeing right now in our community, is that people are not being heard.
Thank you. And re-rebuttal, 30 seconds, please.
When it comes to the comprehensive plan, I think one of the things that is important is that you pay attention to who has been participating with those comprehensive plan updates, because that's very important. The other thing is, when you talk about the minor land division, one of the things that continues to be ignored is that a legal opinion that comes forward to the Bonner County Commissioners regarding a health and safety issue, it required us to use a statute, 74204 subsection C. And so the community wasn't cut out. We had to address an emergency, and that's not the only time as a commissioner you'll address an emergency.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to a question for the Bonner County clerks, candidates. I think we started with Roger last time. Yes. Remind me if I get the order mixed up. I try to give you guys fair first. So Spencer will go first here. What is being done or what can be done to protect Bonner County property owners from deed theft? And that's 2 minutes, please.
Wow, that's something that's kind of curious, isn't it? People stealing your deed. Who would have ever thought that was going to be a problem? But it actually is a problem. I got approached by some folks in Blanchard that had a similar thing happening to them, and they were spending, I think he said they had spent like $50,000 trying to get it unwound. And when they were working to get it unwound, the county wasn't really working with them too well, because the county, even though it was obvious that something had happened that was untoward to their deed, the county didn't want to fess up that they'd done something wrong. So instead of just saying, oh, look, we found that your deed's been messed with and we're going to fix it so it's proper, they're fighting with them over it. And I don't see how, I mean, if something has happened to your deed, if somebody has stolen your deed, it should be the county clerk and his employees' responsibility to find out, yes, something did happen and it was bad, and let's figure out how it happened and let's fix it. So I'm not a deed thief, so I don't know how they're doing that, but I hope that we would be able to spot that and point it out and be able to get that undone so that it doesn't cost citizens thousands of dollars to fix something because some crook tried to steal your home out from underneath you.
Hey, thank you. Roger, you need the question again?
No, I got it.
Okay, two minutes, please.
I can't figure out how to do this, so
they're a little tricky. There you
go. So the question is, how does Bonner County Clerk, the recorder's office, specifically protect your deed? And to be very, very blunt, from thieves, I think is the question. They can't do anything for you. I hate to say that to you. Here's what you got to do, because I've owned several homes throughout my life, and I've called my insurance company and asked them about it, and I've called different government offices and asked them about it. Here's what you do. You call HomeTitleLock.com. Especially if you own your house outright, it's very important that you have title insurance on your home. Now, why do I say that the clerk can't do anything about it? The clerk is responsible for accepting the deed to your house or the mortgage or lien or whatever it is that you want to file at the recorder's office with the county clerk. They're going to take that office. They're going to look at your ID. They're going to put a note on it. They're going to index it, and they're going to file it. And they're going to keep that document safe for you to come and retrieve it at a time in the future when you need to see it. So it's important for the homeowner to take responsibility for protecting the home from ID theft and ultimately from deed thieves. And there's ways to do that. The homeowner is responsible for protecting their home, just like if you had an intruder come into your house, you'd break out your AR-15 and you would shoot the intruder. How do you protect your home from deed thieves? You keep an eye on your credit report. If you see any activity that is suspicious, specifically as it pertains to your house, you won't want to address that immediately. And another approach that you could take as a homeowner is just freeze your credit. It's very easy. There's a 1-800 number that goes to all three of the credit agencies, and you could freeze your credit so nobody could ever take out credit against your house, even if they didn't own it. And really, this, I gave you an answer that didn't pertain to the clerk too much, but it's a very important topic nonetheless, that you protect the home that you own.
Thank you. Okay. 1 minute rebuttal, please.
And that's not an acceptable answer to me. The clerk is charged with recording and keeping these documents safe, okay? If somebody with bad intentions comes along and fraudulently alters the documents or steals your title, the clerk's office should in some fashion, and I don't know what level it needs to rise to, but in some fashion should be helping the citizens that have this problem. It shouldn't be good luck, you're on your own, go pay some outside agency or go pay a lawyer to fix it. There's got to be some culpability on the part of the county to acknowledge that we let somebody pull a fast one on us and steal your house, and we need to try and at least assist you in any way that we can to undo the damage.
Yep. And re-rebuttal, 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, 30
Roger.
Seconds. So this doesn't take place in a clerk recorder's office. We're right. We're going to take the deed and we're going to record it. That's it. If there's title theft that's taking place with the deed of a house, it's going to take place at a title company or it's going to take place at some other lending institution. It is not going to take place in the county office where that deed is recorded.
Thank you. Okay, we have a question for the commissioners. I believe Asia is up first, is that correct? Do you have a solution for Duford and 95, Highway 95?
That's not very specific.
That was the question. I'm assuming it's because of the long wait of getting onto Highway 95.
I can give you an update because I actually have spoken with
2 minutes,
transportation on that issue. And part of what their plan is for that particular intersection, because I've actually received that question quite a few times, is it's not going to get a stoplight because that would be more dangerous. It's going to look like they're going to do a turnaround where you have to go down and make a turnaround versus actually doing a stoplight. Their study shows that a stoplight would actually be more dangerous. And so there isn't, that's on more of the ITD, not on the county, but that's the communication that you're hearing about that particular intersection right now. One of the things that I do ask Commissioner is, as people give me questions, I try to make sure that I go out and get informed, and this here is an example of it's actually not in the hands of the county commissioners, but knowing the answer is because I'm listening to the public and hearing those concerns, and with respect to that, that's kind of what we're going to see happen, but they actually don't have a plan of when that's going to be implemented at this time.
Okay, thank you. Same question, 2 minutes, Jeff.
Yeah, so that's the first that I had heard of this question, but absolutely getting input from the public that they have an issue there. I've traveled over from Duford onto 95, and you have to sit there for quite a while. And I've seen some people do some fairly dangerous things trying to merge onto the highway. So having the Department of Transportation look at that, that's their job, they're professionals, they know how to assess safety and traffic and the best way to address it. I think that's important, getting input from the community where they're telling us that, hey, we've got problems, we think this is dangerous, there's too much traffic, something needs to be done. I think that's important to listen to the community and then find the solutions via the proper channels and how to address that. Stop signs versus roundabouts, some people love them, some people hate them. You get those input from the county, from the residents, but ultimately, you know, you make the decisions based on the professionals' input.
Okay, thank you. This is a question that we're going to ask of everyone. So we're going to start with the clerks. I'm sorry, we're going to start with the commissioners and move to the clerks. Grant money is a great way to fund items, but comes at a price to the taxpayers. What is your stance on spending grant monies? And I believe we start with Jeff this time. 2 minutes, please.
That's a great question, and it's something that I feel very passionately about. I think the county has become far too dependent on grant money, where we're just accepting grant money, applying for grant money, and using that as an artificial way to look at our county and think, okay, we can sustain this, when really you can't. One of the big platforms that my opponent ran on 3 years ago was to not take ARPA funds, and she even drew up a resolution, presented it to the commissioners, and it was fantastic. I actually voted for my opponent 3 years ago because I felt very strongly about that. We saw such an infringement on constitutional rights through the COVID whole pandemic scam. And with the ARPA funds, the American Relief Plan Act, the executive says if you accept these funds, you are required then to abide by any and all mandates and executive orders coming out of the White House. So the county returned the funds. We weren't going to utilize them. It's been very frustrating over the last few years to watch my opponents sign off on utilizing these funds within the county, which we had a very, very strong sentiment among Bonner residents that using those ARPA funds was not something that was congruent with the values and the culture of people here in Bonner. And we see things like the plow shed over at the airport in Priest River, $650,000. Most of that money comes from the form of a federal grant, and the county only had to pay a small portion of that, but that's still taxpayer money. That's still growing government and spending money here locally and giving a nod to the Fed saying, yes, continue to tax American citizens, continue to send that money to Bonner County. And I think that's just countercultural if we want to get government limited and start living within our own budgets.
Do you need me to read the question again?
No, thank you.
Okay, 2 minutes, please.
All right, so my opponent states something incorrectly. I didn't accept ARPA funds. ARPA funds were accepted by a prior board in 2021. And one of the things that people have to understand about government is that we have a different board that does something, and then it continues into another board. You can't have a board that says, because it was accepted in 2021, by the time we get to 2023, that reverses that decision. That decision was actually made by a prior board. And so I didn't change my position on ARPA funds, so that's an inaccurate statement stated by my opponent. The other thing is that we can't just say grant money. We have to actually be very specific, and I'm going to tell you about the airports. We have an airport. The moment that Bonner County decided that we wanted airport, that meant that you were going to be accepting grant funds. The way in which that airport is actually funded through grants, it's to actually help so that Bonner County residents aren't the ones that are actually paying for that airport. And so the comment that's being made today about the heated maintenance building that Director Shuck identified a grant for, that's actually necessary to make sure that when our equipment breaks down, that the director doesn't have to come to you, Bonner County taxpayers, to say, hey, we need you guys to actually fund the equipment because it froze during the winter. The grant was available to ensure a protection of the equipment that we as a community are responsible to maintain. We shouldn't be dependent on grants. I don't disagree. I did not change my position on ARPA as stated by my opponent. I do actually look very closely on grants as we look at that. One of the things that I did when I became commissioner was I actually studied and became a grant writer and grant writer consultant so that I could make sure that Bonner County doesn't get entangled into things that we don't want as a community. But unfortunately, we do have a system where grants are reasonable and necessary. You see that in Road and Bridge. You see that in our airports, and you saw that when a prior board, and I'm going to emphasize prior board, accepted the ARPA funds. I was then responsible to complete what was happening. We built a building off of ARPA funds. You can't return the building. The building was completed with ARPA funds.
Okay, thank you. We have a 1 minute rebuttal.
Yeah, so you know, if the funds were accepted on a prior board, in June 25th, 2024, $1.5 million roughly was signed off by my opponent and the Board of Commissioners to be spent within the county for EMS funding. We also received some of that grant money, and that was then spent on February 28th of 2023 for waterways. So if your position is we shouldn't take this money, we shouldn't spend this money, we shouldn't be on the hook to the federal government for mandates and executive orders that we saw infringe upon the First Amendment rights of people's ability to go to church, to go to work, people's rights to go to government buildings and petition their government. These are gross infringements on constitutional rights. And when you see a government entity saying, hey, here's the carrot, take it, and we've got the stick, I think we need to be wiser than accepting things like that. As limited government constitutionalists, let's not get in bed with the federal government any more than we have to.
Okay. And a re-rebuttal, please, 30 seconds, Asia.
So the ARPA funds that were accepted in 2021 by a prior board had to be spent on EMS. So once that board made a decision to accept the ARPA funds, then the contingencies of what you needed to do existed. I didn't create that. I was required to complete that. And so that's a point of when I've seen this online where people are saying, Asia changed position. I didn't change position. I followed through with what was already started because that is actually what is required when it happens. And you actually see this in other areas like land use.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to the clerks. Same question. I believe it's Roger first. Do you mean to read it over again?
No, we're just going to talk about grants.
Yes.
How do grants...
2 minutes, please.
How do grants work with the clerk's office? So grants are free money that come from somewhere. What does the clerk have to do with the grant money? So grant monies you got to be careful with because we execute the budget that the commissioners approve. So if you have a large grant fund inside the general ledger to fund a specific thing, the county clerk's office got to make sure that that money is only spent on that certain thing. So we'll be there for consultation as grant monies come in when we're developing the budget process, but we're not involved in saying, yes, we're going to take that grant and we're going to work it into the budget. That's not the role of the county clerk. I will say that you gotta be careful with grants because it is free money and it's not a standard recoup from year to year. So budgets are developed based on what we think the revenues are going to be for the county, all right? And if we get a grant from the Idaho Transportation Department to our Road and Bridge Department for, say, $75 million to do a bridge project in 2027. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're gonna have that grant amount the following year in 2028. So you gotta be mindful of where those grants come from, what institution, what is its specific need, and then make sure that we don't work that into a standing budget monetary figure that we think we're gonna get every year because we're not gonna get it every year. Grants are particular to the thing that they're given to us for. Now, in the clerk's office, could we get a grant? Yes, we could get a grant in the elections office from the Secretary of State, maybe to upgrade all the electronics that are involved with the elections process. Or maybe we can get a grant from the State Tax Commission to upgrade the software that's working the finances in the audit office. So those are types of experiences that we have with grants. I don't think the county minds taking them if they're money that we pay to the federal government and we're going to use it wisely and just not count on it for the following year.
Thank you. And you have 2 minutes, Spencer.
What's that?
2 minutes, please.
So grants, as far as the clerk's office is concerned, is really simple. The money's put into an account. We have to make sure that money is only spent for the purpose it's intended to be spent for. The clerk's role, that's kind of it, other than, you know, like what he was just saying about if we get a grant for voting machines or something like that. And it's not, I mean, has anybody else here gotten any free money? Anybody getting any? There's no such thing. We all pay for it somehow. All these grants are taken from our federal taxes or our state taxes. It all comes from somewhere. So when we take this money, we have to be really careful about it. You know, I always used to watch when they're granting something, and this goes back to, you know, back to project management stuff. Are we being funded the full amount to do the thing that they're giving us the grant for? Are they kind of suckering us in by, you know, giving us money to hire two new FTE, two full-time employees, but it only lasts for 2 years or only lasts for 3 years. And then when that's up, now the taxpayers in the county have to foot the bill. So we have to be careful of those things. We have to be aware of them. The clerk can't really do anything about it other than maybe advise when we spot those things, hopefully. And we should be able to, you know, I would like to be able to look at budgets for projects that they may be giving us a grant for and say, okay, well, this pays to complete the project, but has anybody ever seen, I love this example, has anybody ever seen a bridge that's been replaced and then the old bridge is still there and it just sits there and decays and falls apart? Well, that's something that wasn't budgeted properly. They budgeted to build a bridge, but nobody thought of taking out the old bridge. So since there wasn't the money there, now we all have to watch this thing slowly decay and turn into a hazard to the community. I would like to be able to see this stuff, kind of point it out. Hey, they're building us a beautiful bridge. They need to put in a few million extra bucks to take care of taking out the old bridge. So just have a critical eye at it and look at it and see if it's a whole budget for a project. I think that's about the only way the clerk can help the county with grants.
Thank you. All right. Next question goes to the commissioners. I believe it's, is it Asia first on this one? Jeff, I'm sorry. The question is, what is your opinion of minor land divisions and any other way of bypassing subdivision and or other processes that ensure input, oversight, and proper infrastructure for all affected citizens? And you have 2 minutes, please.
That's a long question. Yeah, I think the MLDs, I think most people can agree that they were being abused. I disagree with my opponent when she says that it was an emergency and we had to declare an emergency as an agenda item. When the email went out, 4 days in advance on the 21st of March saying, hey, we can amend the agenda at the beginning of the meeting and then create an agenda item as an emergency item, and it won't give developers the chance to rush the department with a bunch of requests for MLDs. But the problem with that is that had been in place since 2016, and it had been amended in 2019 and again in 2023. So to say that it was an imminent danger to the community and had to cut the people out in order to address it, I think is really misleading, and I think it's really frustrating to people when they want to see transparency, when they want to be involved in that process. And the part that's lost on me completely is why we took the family exemption with it, because that was a really useful tool for families with a lot of safeguards to prevent abuse. So I don't believe the MLDs need to come back, especially in the form that they were, without some serious checks and balances, but I absolutely think that people are looking for relief with the ability to be able to keep their families on their land and to be able to develop in responsible ways without having big developers abuse that. So I really think that's going to take some negotiation, some understanding. I've talked to a lot of people who feel very strongly about it. But again, not opposed to seeing the MLDs amended or dealt with. I'm very frustrated with the way that they were dealt with by creating an emergency agenda item and then keeping the people out of the loop.
Thank you. All right, that question again for Asia. What is your opinion of minor land divisions and any other way of bypassing subdivision and or other processes that ensure input, oversight, and proper infrastructure for all affected citizens?
So Two minutes. I'm going to point out that my opponent didn't actually answer the question, answer just a disagreement with a legal opinion that I accepted. Minor land divisions were circumventing the subdivision code. And so for a fact checked here, there is the availability of family splits, and that shows you that there hasn't been a lot of following along of what actually the Board of Commissioners have done. Originally, minor land divisions were intended to address family splits, and it grew into developers piecing things together. Not all developers, but some developers. I've actually done a lot of work meeting with developers regarding how do we address issues and concerns. And the way in which we do that is to not circumvent our code. When we were using minor land divisions and it circumvented the code, it actually was a concern with respect to the local land use planning act with respect to health and safety. After that decision was made, most of the county actually understood what took place when the RICO case came forward regarding a minor land division. It's important for us to understand that as commissioners, sometimes we have to take tough decisions, and one of those decisions has to do with us addressing what legal gives us as a recommendation. And so understanding that we don't necessarily always agree on something, but one of the things that the Board of Commissioners absolutely did was put the health and safety and welfare of the public, but also one of the things that I have done as your commissioner is I have addressed the need for us to ensure that our infrastructure isn't negatively impacted by development and putting forward a request that we take a look at development impact fees to ensure the health and safety, which also is an element of protecting the property rights of everybody, not just those that are developing. So it's important that we don't hear just sound bites, but that we stay committed to the full process, because although minor land divisions were there, it was proven when that decision was made and a commissioner leaked that information, a planner put in 7 minor land divisions requests. How would that have been had there been 2 weeks? So that what happened when that commissioner did that proved that the prosecutor's office recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners was valid.
Thank you. 1 minute rebuttal, please.
Yeah, so I just want to be clear. I don't think anybody's going to say that the MLDs weren't being abused. What I'm frustrated with, and a lot of the people I talk to in the community, is the way that it was handled. Even if legal gives you the advice that you can commit an act like creating an emergency agenda item. I don't believe that you should. If you're running on a platform of, hey, we're going to be accountable to the people are going to be part of the conversation, we're going to give them a heads up, they're going to know what the agenda is, and they're going to be able to be present and be part of that decision-making process. And so I think that really just shows a difference in the approach on how we view the people in giving input on things like this.
Okay, thank you. And 30-second re-rebuttal from Asia, please.
I think the answer shows you a lack of understanding of what a commissioner has to do, because although that's one example, county commissioners actually have to utilize 74204 subsection C actually frequently in work. The difference is not using it, it's whether or not it is abused. And there would have been a significant consequence to you, the taxpayer, had Bonner County commissioners not addressed the issue as presented by legal counsel. Because when legal gives you a recommendation and you don't follow it, and it has to do with health and safety, and then you have a case such as the RICO case come forward, that consequence comes out of taxpayer money.
Okay, thank you. This is a question for all candidates. I think we started with commissioners first, so we're going to start, or clerks first last time, so we'll start with commissioners. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, clerks first. All candidates, we'll start with Roger on this one. If in your campaign materials you state you are a Christian, will you respond to county residents even if they are not Christian? And you have 2 minutes, please.
2 minutes to evangelize. The answer is yes, I will serve everybody. Although this is a partisan election for the Republican primary on May 19th, the Bonner County clerk serves every resident. So do the commissioners, to be honest, and all the other elected officials in the county. We all serve everybody individually as well as every other person. I wouldn't have any favoritism for somebody who says, comes in and says, I'm a Christian, help me now, or somebody who comes in and says, I'm an atheist, help me now. And I think it's important that we show our fellow citizens who we are by our love, by serving them regardless. I mean, you don't even ask a person. If they come in, they need help from the Bonner County Recorder's Office in recording a deed or recording a marriage certificate or recording a birth certificate, or other family important matters, it does not matter to me, and I know it doesn't matter to the fine people that work in the recorder's office. They're going to accept the document, and they're going to record it. The same thing with elections. Back to the elections, the most secure elections that we have in our great union is because we have voter ID. So when you come in to vote, you got to have an ID. You got to show your ID, get a ballot, go vote, go home, and your ID's got to match what's in the voter poll. So everything that we do is based on you being an Idaho resident and a resident of Bonner County, because we're neighbors. We have a strong traditional cultural values in our county of taking care of one another, and you can call those Christian if you want, or you could call them neighborly love, but I will treat others as I want to be treated, the old golden rule. Thank you.
Thank you. Spencer, 2 minutes. You want to repeat the question?
Yeah, repeat that again.
If in your campaign materials you state you are a Christian, will you respond to county residents even if they are not Christian? 2 minutes, please.
Well, I don't know if anybody has noticed, but there's a particular group in this room that cheers every time Roger gets up and every time Jeff gets up. And that's a group called the Politically Active Christians. And I think this question might have been stemmed from that. So this group of people, I mean, we all know Sheriff Wheeler, you know. Is Sheriff Wheeler a Christian? Does anybody know? Yeah, he's a pretty good Christian. Is Asia a Christian? Yeah, she's a really good Christian. Do they wear it on their sleeve? Do they talk about it all the time? Do they evangelize all the time? No, they really don't. But if you watch what they do and see how they behave, you'll know they're really good people. And treating somebody differently because they may or may not be in your particular clique of Christianity, or any other religion, is not what government is for. We are supposed to separate religion from government. We're supposed to serve all the people that pay taxes. We're supposed to equally work for all the citizens in the government, and that's how I would do that. I think the only thing you could get me to, the only way you would get me to treat you any differently based on your religion is if you walked in my office with a suicide vest on. Other than that, everybody's going to get treated equally. We don't expect to get treated differently based on, you know, race, gender, religion, anything else when you walk into a county office. So everybody should get treated the same. What people should be cautious of is people who are wearing it too much on their sleeve, and they're making too big of a deal out of it, because I would be concerned about those people treating me fairly. And there is a large group, but there's a large contingent in the Republican Party who are behaving that way now, which is why you see certain people running for office saying, I'm doing this because God told me to. That's that group of people, and I think we should all be a little cautious of them. Thank you.
Thank you. And moving on to the commissioners. Jeff, 2 minutes, please. Yep.
So we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. I think right there you see that everyone is equal and everyone has those rights. And our country is founded on those values, regardless of if you're a Christian or not. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. These are guaranteed and enumerated in our founding documents of our country. To have that freedom of religion or freedom from religion, to live the life that you want to live. I think the amazing blessing of America is that you can live in this country and not share the same religious beliefs as the people that are elected in office or your neighbor or the people that you work with, but all people are protected under the United States Constitution, and government is instituted among men to secure those blessings of life, liberty, and property. And so when government is working the way that it shouldn't affect you in any way in your rights to live free, regardless of what your religious beliefs are. And I think that really is what should be enshrined and maintained here in our culture, here in Bonner County, and throughout the United States.
Amen. Thank you. And Asia, 2 minutes. Do you want me to repeat the question?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I think that I've actually shown that I actually work with all people. So, for example, when I'm working with mental health, I'm working with NAMI, and they don't necessarily have all of the principles that I agree with, but when I'm talking about suicide prevention and I'm standing in the gap as a Christian conservative Republican, I've actually been able to share my faith through the way in which I present myself. I don't treat people differently. I've never done that. Even though I have received some of that, it's one of the things that I do as an individual. Christianity is supposed to embody who I am, and how I treat people is supposed to be reflected in that. So one of the things that you'll see in me is when I go, and actually this actually just happened, which is kind of a nice story to be able to tell. I had invited somebody from Boise actually to come to Bonner County and talk to us about ag. They had values that I didn't agree with, but they knew about ag. After our discussion, he said, "Why did you invite me? Your area doesn't like my kind of people." I said, "You knew your topic." That individual has then since called me, he'll be actually here in May, saying, "I would like to talk to you about Christianity, because I'd like to know some things." The best way that you can be a Christian is actually how you behave consistently towards everybody. And one of the things that I think comes out in politics is actually the negativity, as if we get a little bit of a delay in being what we claim to be. I don't choose to change, because in this position as a commissioner, it's so visible. I don't just represent you, I actually am representing where I come from. I'm representing a group of kids who've never seen a person like me with my education, my experience, be in this position, and it makes it imperative that I maintain the values that I claim in that platform, which is a conservative, Christian, constitutional person, which means I have to treat everybody with the love that I say that Christ gives me.
Thank you. Moving on to the next question here. This is for the commissioners, and it involves the fairgrounds. There have been a lot of conflicts concerning management and fiscal responsibility. How do you plan to oversee the fairgrounds? And I believe it's Asia first on this one, and you have 2 minutes, please. I'm sorry.
So I'm actually privileged to have had the board actually request a change in who their commissioner overseer was. And so I've actually been able to work very closely with the chair, and we have actually been moving in a fantastic direction. We have a new fair manager with a background in budget, and we work fantastic together as well. You're seeing a lot of focus on how do we make our fair independent. They are doing a fantastic job of identifying things that we can bring to the fair while equally maintaining that focus on 4-H and the rural character that our fair is known for. You're seeing a lot more research, you're seeing a lot more budget focus, and one of the big things that you're seeing different is we're actually moving forward to having an opportunity to having those meetings be Zoom so that the whole public can participate, because sometimes those meetings run a bit long. So you're seeing a change in fiscal responsibility at a level as we reset who's on that board. We're identifying people that don't just know FAIR, but that they have a focus on budget, finance, and that they're working together collaboratively. And that is something that has been successful. And I was very thankful when the board, the FAIR board, actually reached out to me and asked for a commissioner change so that I could help them, because I have a background in business and finance. Six Sigma is a leadership principle, and it's something that we utilize at the FAIR as we move forward with making our FAIR more successful.
And you have 2 minutes, please, Jeff.
Yeah, so I've had the opportunity to talk to several people on both sides of that equation in the commissioner's office as well as the FAIR board. And I think it's just really difficult. The FAIR board has expressed that they had difficulty in really knowing what their numbers were, what events were earning money, what events were costing them money. And I think the commissioner's office was feeling frustration with not feeling that there was enough oversight while still being responsible for what took place on the fairgrounds. So I've had sit down and talk with several members of the FAIR board. And I think that when you've got an operation that's running well and it's under your purview and your responsibility, you can take a more hands-off approach and let that department do what it needs to do. If it's having issues or is bringing on liability or you feel there's mismanagement, if you're responsible for that, then it is your duty to ensure that those who are subordinate to you or following under your leadership are operating the way that they should, because ultimately that's your responsibility to manage that. But I think really taking some time and just hearing both sides of the equation, developing some mutual respect, healing some of the challenges that can develop between different departments will go a long way in just having things work smoothly for the benefit of the county. And the county fairs are amazing, and the fairgrounds get utilized for so many good things that benefit our county. I think it's a really important thing to get that negotiated and working smoothly to build that morale so that those FAIR board members can really move forward and do what they need to do, and the commissioner's office can know that it's being properly managed and that there's not a liability there or a kind of a question mark as to what's taking place. And I think exactly what my opponent stated is true, in the sense that they are getting a handle on it with budget and having more accurate recording of what's happening financially.
Thank you. And we have a 1 minute rebuttal from Asia, please.
I just forgot to mention something. One of the reasons for the quick change on commissioners was we are actually moving forward with almost completing the 5-year plan that we'll be able to produce to the community to see what the 5-year goals of the FAIR are, which is more inclusive. And that's something that has been missing, because although the county commissioners can ask for it, we can't create it. And so when one of the things that the requested change was so that we can actually move forward with that 5-year plan. And so we have a draft of it, but we're just not completed with that. So you're seeing collaboration and cooperation in the direction that you, the public, asked for with respect to finance and the FAIR. And that's a big deal, because it is a big change from what we have had in the past.
All right, thank you. We're moving on to a question to all candidates, and I think we start with the clerks. I'm a little confused by this question, but I'll ask it. Do you have any financial negatives in the past 5 years, and what positive financial experiences do you have? I will put that out there and allow you to answer it however you like. Spencer, you have 2 minutes.
Bankruptcies and stuff like that? I don't know.
Whoever
asked the question, no, I don't have any bankruptcies. I've never had a bankruptcy. Every business I've ever owned, if it was shut down, the last thing we did when we walked out the door was pay all the bills and pay all the employees and make sure everything was done properly. As I stated earlier, I spent quite a bit of my time building hospitals, making sure that money was tracked carefully and properly. I don't keep any personal credit cards. I have them. I just don't use them. I get the same bills probably everybody else has. I have a mortgage and I have a car payment. And other than that, I think my finances are pretty good. You know, I've taken two companies from the first company that I bought when I first started doing computer stuff. I actually worked at the company. The guy came up and told us that he was shutting the company down because he was going bankrupt. And I, within about a 5-day period of time, was able to round up some financing and buy the company off of him. And that's the company that we turned around in a year. And, you know, we had a little over $1 million in sales in a year from a company that was bankrupt. So I do okay with money. I do pretty good. And I would like to put those talents to use for the county.
Thank you. Same question, two minutes, please, Roger.
Personal finance information, I've not had any bankruptcies or problems with my money. I don't have any money because I have 2 kids, 8 grandkids, 3 horses, and 8 chickens, so it's all gone. But seriously, I've been very blessed. I've worked hard, saved a lot of money. We've had 5 or 6 houses over our lifetime. We've bought and sold houses. I had a property management business for time after I got out of the Marine Corps. I was also a licensed real estate agent here in North Idaho. But for personal reasons, taking care of my mom as she transitioned from this life to the next, I gave all that up. And when I got back, I got more involved with being a horsemanship, a grandpa, and a better husband to my wife, who had spent many, many years away from the family because of military obligations. And then for the last 2 months or so, since I filed for to be Bonner County clerk, I have been studying and reading up on the finances of the county. And it's very interesting, because we do have about $75 million in the current fiscal year that the county has budgeted to spend on. And those come along in revenue streams from 54 different taxing districts inside the county. And those revenues too have purposes. So those revenues are collected by our treasurer's office and then distributed over to the clerk auditor's office and then sent back out to the taxing districts for your library districts, your fire districts, your school districts, sewer districts, all the 54 districts in the county. So I've been studying those. I've been studying them back 3 years to see how the county has been operating financially. And it's doing pretty good. They set the budget. We help them execute to make sure nobody spends money they don't have. And then we try to work together as a team with all the other elected officials and the departments to make sure that we are doing the absolute best that we can with every dollar that you are taxed to provide for services in this county. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff, same question, 2 minutes, please.
You got it. Well, I wish I could say no to this question, but I can't. So over the last 22 years, not just the last 4 years, my family's gone through some pretty tragic events, and I can't get into it, and I won't. But 22 years ago, I went through a bankruptcy. A little over a decade ago, I ended up having a tax lien that I ended up paying off pretty rapidly. And then over the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years, have been some of the darkest times for my family. And we lost our second home in a foreclosure, as well as a handful of judgments, some that are paid off, some that I'm still working on. I don't seek to dismiss it or diminish it. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. Through that, I had a very difficult choice I had to make, which was when the resources were limited, do I take care of myself and my own personal financial situation, or my business with my subcontractors, employees, clients, and vendors? And I chose the latter, and I believe that was the right choice, and given the choice to do it again, that's what I would do. My opponent as well, I know it's public record when you run for office, in 2022, received a tax lien after being elected as commissioner, and then 2 more tax liens in 2023. I voted for my opponent. I didn't feel that precluded her from doing the job. I also don't feel that the personal financial issues that I've had preclude me from successfully running my business or doing the job as county commissioner, but I think you're entitled to know it. It is all public record. Anything from speeding tickets to, not making credit card payments are public record. They're out there to see. And again, I won't diminish it. It's true. But recovering from that, being able to run a business and have a good professional standing with my subcontractors, my clients, and really having a solid standing in the community, I think shows that we were able to navigate some difficult times as a family and still do the right thing by as many people as we could.
Thank you. And Asia, 2 minutes, please.
I love when somebody thinks they know, because if you had done a little bit more work, I was hoping this question came up, because the IRS actually gave me back the $14,000 because my position on my taxes was correct. Maybe you just didn't catch that when you looked at the liens. And so I actually do a pretty good job in terms of finance. I don't have a mortgage. I own my own land, which is part of actually the reason that I moved out here. And so I don't want to throw shade at my opponent. Their information has already been published online with respect to their bankruptcies and their court cases. That's for him to disclose to you. But in terms of how I manage, one of the things that did come out when I actually first, somebody pulled up the lien, and I was arguing with the IRS, because guess what? IRS isn't always right.
And guess what? They weren't. If you actually check right now, you'll see that we're currently arguing over $2,000 because of an interesting thing that I learned, and I'm going to tell you this. If the IRS gives you a refund check and you cash it, and then they say that they shouldn't have given it to you, they can give you a penalty for it. And so that I actually am now in a position with actually the IRS saying, wait a second, you made an error and it actually shouldn't have been that way, even though it's actually part of the tax code. I didn't know that one. And so I'm asking for an abatement for that. But that's actually what you'd see on mine. But with respect to what came out when I was originally running, I was actually arguing and I came out that I was actually correct. And I actually saved those checks. I was going to post them on Facebook for the person who doxed that so that you could see. I actually got it. Actually, they did it. And how they got me on the penalty was they gave my money back in three different checks instead of one check. And so one of those checks was over what I should have gotten. And so that's how you ended up with a I cashed one that I shouldn't have received. But I do a good job at managing finances, which is why at my age, I own my land outright.
All right, thank you. Well, we're running out of questions, folks. If you have any more, please get our attention. Otherwise, we've just got one left. And then we're going to go with outros, and we'll probably get you out of here early. So this is going to be for all the candidates, and we're going to start with commissioners, and I believe start with Asia, with Jeff. Okay, I'm sorry. this doesn't directly relate to county business, but it's an interesting question. So do you agree with eliminating property taxes? And if you do, how do you propose ensuring North Idaho gets proper flow down relating to more densely populated South Idaho counties? That's a 2 minute, please.
Perfect. Yes, 100%. I think property taxes, the most egregious taxes that exist. You'll never own your property. You're always a serf, especially for people that are on fixed income or people that are living here in Bonner County and watching the cost of living just evolve. They own their property, but their taxes keep going up because their property gets assessed higher and higher and higher. So that's going to be up to the legislature to be able to get rid of property taxes completely. Through proper fiscal management, we can reduce the taxes in the county by not spending in areas that we don't need to. But Scott Herndon, who's running for Senate, has a plan. If you look at how much the state budget keeps growing every year, if you curb all this extra growth, you could actually reduce property taxes and potentially eliminate it. And property taxes doesn't exist in many states, and I think we could look at options like that, and that would really prove to be beneficial for the people, because that is, I think, one of the dreams that people have here in Idaho is owning their land. So many people moving here just kind of wanting to live free, but when you've got that burden of property tax hanging over your head, you never truly own your land. So I am in full support of seeing property tax go away. Again, I think it kind of makes you just a serf, kind of going back to feudal England, where you never really own anything. You want to hunt on the king's land, you want to farm on the king's land, you want to build on the king's land. I don't believe that's a good American value, and I really think that's something we should try to reverse.
Thank you. Do you need the question read again?
Yes, please, because there's something at the end I don't think.
Do you agree with eliminating property taxes? If you do, how do you propose ensuring North Idaho gets proper flow down relating to more densely populated South Idaho counties?
All right.
2 minutes, please.
So I find property tax to be unconstitutional, and I believe that everybody that receives a tax is actually being taxed on unrealized gain, which is where I come up with the unconstitutional. If you look at when my first and second year, one of the things I actually brought forward was I brought in LD1 and LD2 reps to actually review how can we can eliminate property tax, because you can never be truly free if you actually are beholden to the government. After 3 years of not paying your taxes, even if you own it outright, the government can come in and take your land. And so one of the things, as I have looked at this as an issue with people at the state level, because it's not a county, one of the proposals has been that if we were to increase sales tax by 1.5%, that would allow us to remove property tax. That actually, when you look at that metric, one of the things that the state representatives have balked at is they'd rather it be a 1% versus a 1.5% increase. It is necessary that if we decide to remove property tax, that we address the issues that come with the way in which we built the system, because our system is dependent on property tax by way of fire and EMS and things of that nature. But that's one of the reasons, actually, that I think that it's important for us to address how we fund things in not just Bonner County, but the state of Idaho as a whole, because everybody feels the pinch when it comes up for we need fire, and it's always attacking property tax. And just because a property owner has a piece of property doesn't mean that they have the money to address that increase. And so it's incumbent not just on you as residents to talk to Bonner County commissioners, but it's actually something that needs to be addressed at the state level, because we need movement on this issue such that as we age, we're not actually being pushed off of a property that we built.
Thank you. Now we're moving on to the clerks. If you'd like to answer the same question, I know it doesn't directly relate to the clerk's office, but it was asked to all the candidates, so I believe it's Roger first. 2 minutes. Would you like me to reread the question?
Sure.
Do you agree with eliminating property taxes? If you do, how do you propose ensuring North Idaho gets proper flow down relating to more densely populated South Idaho counties?
Okay, so I think all of our answer is going to be exactly the same. Property taxes are unconstitutional, and they hold you prisoner to the property that you think you own, that you worked hard, paid for all your life with after-tax dollars. So property tax will hopefully go away in the next legislative period or two or three. But Jeff Roberts was right. Scott Herndon made that a primary pillar for his campaign march back into the legislature. And how do you do it? How do you make sure that it's equitable? You're going to have to stay in contact with your legislator, both in the House and the Senate, because those are the folks that's down in Boise that are making decisions that affect our lives up here in the north. And how are we going to make sure that the funds, once they get rid of property taxes, are distributed properly? They do it by valuation, the same way that we're doing tax distribution up here. You do it by valuation of assets that is owned by the county. How much money do we have in land and assets in the county divided by a certain number is going to give you the amount of money that you need to provide and cover for your services. So it's another good reason that we have a budget right now, because we can keep track of the amount of money that we're spending on services, whether it be for the sheriff, the fire, the EMS, the road, the roads, the solid waste. All of those things are services that the county provides to its citizens, because it's just too costly and not beneficial to branch out to the civilian world, especially like the sheriff and solid waste. So those are important functions that we'll still need to finance, and we'll have historical data about how much money we're going to need. So there's valuations and divisions, if you allow me to the mathematics, with a big numerator and a big denominator that you divide into each other and say this is how much money you're going to get based on the valuation that resides inside your county, and that will in turn fund all the services that we have today.
Okay, thank you. Same question. Would you like me to read it again, Spencer? Okay. 2 minutes, please.
So nobody was more proud of Scott Herndon bringing up eliminating property tax than me, since I gave him the idea several years ago. So it was great to see him campaigning on it. I thought that was awesome. We don't need to have property taxes in this state. As county clerk, I collect those property taxes, and it's, you know, well, how are you going to collect property taxes if you don't believe them? Well, because that's the law and it's my job, so I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. But that doesn't mean on the side I can't advocate for us getting rid of property taxes. And I'd actually go a little further than that. I don't think we should have any more than, I don't know, one or two type of taxes. I don't think there should be a separate gas tax or a separate any tax. I think we should have a sales tax. And whatever that number is, I mean, however much it takes, at least we will see it. At least it will be right in our face. Boy, it costs 30% for me to buy something, because that's how much government is sucking out of my wallet. And that's kind of, it's somewhere between 20 and 30%, depending on where you live. The government is actually sucking out of our wallets, but they do it in little tiny pieces here and there so you don't notice it all. And they do it that way on purpose, so we don't notice it all, right? But it would be more fair and more equitable to everybody if we just said, okay, government costs this much per citizen. It's going to take this much in sales tax to fund the government. And then we get to decide, hey, you know, I'm sick of paying 30%. Why don't you get rid of that dude over there who's costing me money and he's not providing any value or that service? I think that would be awesome. I think if citizens actually understood how much they were really paying in taxes, I think there would be more pressure on all levels of government to reduce what they're doing, to reduce how much they're spending. And I think it would be a benefit to everybody, because we'd all like to have more money in our pockets, right? I mean, there is no reason for us to get taxed on our income. How long did the country run without being taxed on our income? long time. And that came up during an emergency. We're just going to tax the rich people. And then next thing you know, we're all getting dinged for 25 to 30% in our paychecks so that we can run the government. There's a better way to do it, and I would advocate for that. Thank you.
Yes. All right. 1 minute rebuttal.
One minute rebuttal. I don't know if Spencer misspoke or if he did it on purpose, but he mentioned that the county clerk collects taxes from you, the residents of Bonner County. If the county clerk is doing that, we've erred tremendously. So I don't know if he doesn't know what the clerk does with regards to taxes or if he misspoke. But just so we're clear, the assessor evaluates the amount of money that the property is worth in the county. He sends that over to the treasurer. The treasurer sends out a bill for your tax money. The treasurer collects that money, sends that money over to the clerk's office, and the clerk's office is going to distribute it out to the taxing districts or to the budget. So just so we're clear on that, the county clerk is not going to come knock on your door and collect any tax monies.
Okay, 30 seconds, please, Spencer.
Yeah, yes, I know that, but we still handle the taxes and track where they're coming from and where they're going to. I understand that. Thank you, Roger.
Okay, we have one more question. This is for the commissioners, and then we're going to do the closing statements. This is a question that was asked earlier in the evening, and this appears to be some sort of a follow-up to this. and I believe it's Asia first on this one. If we as citizens don't have authority to limit our neighbors' property rights, how can we convey this non-authority to our representatives? And that's a 2 minute.
So I think that one of the things that's important is when you're looking at land use decisions that you actually participate in local government. A comment was made today in our meeting where they said, it's your meeting, when they were talking to commissioners. And my response was, no, it's not. The meeting belongs to you. So when we're having land use decisions, the public has the opportunity to speak. The public has the opportunity to give comments. And so it's important that you show up and participate in our government. Our government is a representative government, which requires the people to actively participate. And so if you're electing people, we need to continue to elect people such as myself that read every single comment, that include those comments when I'm making land use decisions, because that's very important. And so when you take a look at, for example, one of the decisions that I made with respect to a cellular tower, I listened to what actually the people of Bonner County were addressing with respect to property rights. And that's important. It's a significant issue that comes into Bonner County. I'm going to use this one as a little bit more of an example, because for me, when I look at some of the cellular tower issues, it's a federal overreach that makes it so that we're pitting neighbor against neighbor in a way that the county commissioners sometimes get our hands tied. So one of the things that's very important is that you make sure that your voice is heard and you pay attention to when your commissioner are deliberating, are they making sure that they're addressing the concerns that you bring forward about a land use decision? Because that's something that I do when I'm making a decision on land use. And so you need to make sure that you show up and that you're heard in those hearings.
Thank you. Would you like the question again, Jeff?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
If we as citizens don't have authority to limit our neighbors' property rights, how can we convey this non-authority to our representatives? 2 minutes, please.
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually had a constituent reach out and talk to me about that. When you come from a libertarian perspective, you really want to think that government should have really no jurisdiction over your life as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do responsibly. We're in a constitutional republic with a representative form of government that uses a democratic process to establish what the rules and the guidelines and the laws will be. And you have to get involved in that. You have to make your voice heard and you have to take part. Because if you're not involved with forming government in a direction that serves you, it's going to happen to you in a way that you won't like because you didn't have your voice heard and the passions and the values that you have. And that's one of the big reasons I'm running for office. I live off grid, 7 miles down a dirt road. My family and I built our own home. We run off solar, we raise animals, we get water from the ground. But I know, having lived in states where government has become very oppressive at the county and state level, that can happen here in Bonner County as well if we don't hold that line, if people don't get involved, run for office, make their voices heard and be involved in the civic process. You can watch your county, your state devolve into something that you don't want to see and that you don't recognize. And I think a lot of people think, well, you know, Idaho's red and Bonner's free and we're safe. We're not. There are people coming here, there are people that live here that don't share these constitutional values and this fundamental belief that government should be maintained limited and that people should have freedom. And so the concern is, how do you get those powers and execute that upon your neighbor? Well, it happens through that democratic process, through an elected representative form of government. And when it's not kept in check, it's going to oppress you.
Okay, thank you. And we have a rebuttal. 1 minute, please, Asia.
I think that that question is important, and I think it's equally important that you pay attention to a commissioner candidate that has been involved prior to running so that we understand what it means to represent. Before I ran for county commissioner, I was in the community. I was at the planning and zoning meetings. I was listening to the issues and concerns of the people of Southwest Bonner County as it pertained to property rights and what they felt as an infringement on the rights to develop in that area. It can't be that we say, I just want to be in charge of those decisions. We must understand the process by which we're being governed so that when we step into these roles, we understand how to protect the property rights, how to answer those questions, how to actually utilize the tools that are available to a county commissioner, not just say, I want to be one, but where is the presence? I was physically present in our community prior to running and actually even after doing that in such a way that I understood the issues and concerns with this very specific question. And it was part of the reason that I actually did end up running was from my perspective and in Southwest Bonner County, people were looking for someone to advocate for property rights.
Okay, thank you. All right, that concludes the Q&A portion. I just wanted to have a couple of quick statements here before we started the closing statements. We appreciate you all listening tonight and being respectful. This is a joint collaboration between Bonner County Daily Bee, Carolyn Lobsinger's here, sandpointonline.com, Chris Bessler, Selkirk Association of Realtors, we've got Rafael Barta and Stephanie Reef here helping out, 88.5 KRFY. Jack Peterson was in the back there doing the stuff, and people are listening online. And this is also available to listen to later at KRFY.org. And I'm Ben Olson with the Sandpoint Reader. We're going to allow 3 minutes for closing statements, and we're going to start with the clerks. Go ahead, Spencer.
I really appreciate you guys coming out and taking your evening to come listen to us talk. I've done this a couple of times before, and one of the most frustrating things for me is a lack of participation, so understand that I really do appreciate all of you that took the time to come out here. I really appreciate you educating yourself and hopefully going back and talking to your neighbors and friends and telling them what you learned here for the people that didn't bother to come out. Hopefully there's been a pretty clear differentiation between my attitude and how I think and how I think the government should behave towards its citizens and my opponent. I feel that as a clerk and as a servant of the people of the county, that it's my job to help and my job to assist you in any way I can and to make your lives easier, not more burdensome. You know, we've all heard the I'm from the government and I'm here to help line, and it kind of strikes fear in all of us, you know? I mean, nobody wants to have somebody from the government coming to help them. It's always bad. Generally it's bad. I don't want it to be that way in the county. I want you to show up at the county offices, and I want the people to hopefully have smiles on their faces because I'm treating them well, I'm treating the employees well, I'm making sure that they're not overworked and that they have a job that's doable and understandable and that they're good at it and they enjoy it. That would be ideal for me. I mean, everybody who manages people, they want their employees to be happy in the job that they do because they do a better job. They'll serve you with a smile on your face, the interaction will be better, and that's what we should shoot for. We also need to make sure that there is complete transparency in what the clerk's office does. There should never be any black holes of information where we can't figure out what's happened or why things are going a certain way. It should always be obvious to everybody. When we tell you something, when we explain something to you, it should be clear to you. It should be understandable to you. Even if you don't like it, you should at least understand why we do things a certain way. And maybe we can advise you, hey, you don't like how this is going? It's a law. The only way to fix this is to talk to your legislature or talk to the county commissioners. But we should assist people. We shouldn't be throwing barriers up in front of people who are asking us for our help. We need to help our fellow citizens. And I hope that comes clear to you, or comes through to you clearly, that that's what I want to do. I want to serve my fellow citizens. I want to help you guys out. I want to put my brain to use for the county and try and see if there's any little tweaks I can make to save us money, make things more clear, make things more helpful, make it a better place to live. You know, make Bonner County a more friendly place for all of us to live. Because, you know, we live here because it's beautiful and we enjoy it. And we shouldn't go into our county office and have it be a little form of nightmare when you go in there. It should be pleasant, and hopefully I can help you do it. I can help the citizens feel that way when they come to the county clerk's office or any of the subsidiary offices. Spencer Hutchings, I hope that you will vote for me on May 19th. Thank you.
Yes, I agree. Thank you very much for coming out tonight and listening to the candidates that's going to be on your ballot on May 19th. I love people. I'm a grandpa. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a husband. I'm an everyday citizen like you. I literally have a humanitarian service medal for helping save communities around this world. I've been doing it for a long time. I've also led people from a small groups of four up to over 400. I've dealt with finances in the million to the 200 to 400, well, $250 million. So I have a lot of experience with finances and with people. And I grew up in a world I worked in a world that revolved around acronyms, and I've repurposed one of them. One of them was high-intensity tactical training, and I'm going to repurpose that one to my job as your county clerk to honesty, integrity, transparency, and teamwork. I love working with people. I like seeing people come to work happy, waking up excited about coming to work and doing the works for you. There's four people that work in the auditor's office that's doing the financial oversight for the county. Those four people are doing a fantastic job. Really appreciate them. We've got three people working in the recorder's office. They too are doing a terrific job providing every Bonner County a service. And then we got three permanent personnel down elections, and we got about 25 people in the courthouse. I've led different organizations that have people in different functional area responsibilities. And we've always done a fantastic job. And I want to continue to put that public service forward for you as your Bonner County clerk. So if you'll remember, I'm Roger Rudd. I'm running for Bonner County clerk. And on May 19th, I'm going to be on your ballot. And the other folks that are on there, Joanne Guzzi has endorsed me. She works in the courthouse. A fantastic person. Come out and support me. The Bonner County Republican Party has endorsed me. The Bonner County Women's Republican folks have endorsed me. So I appreciate all the endorsements of the people that know what it takes to run the Bonner County government. And they haven't given that trust lightly, and I'm not going to take it lightly, and I will perform the best of my ability. So please, if you need any more information, 2 and 3 minutes, it's very hard to answer a lot of technical questions about what the clerk duties are. But my cards and my material out there on the table, you can call my phone number, it's on my card. You can send me a text, you can send me an email, scan the QR code on the back, and you'd go to my website and read a little bit more about me. But the clerk's role is very important to the county of how it operates, and I'm gonna be honored to do it for you when I win on May 19th. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Bonner County Clerk's race for Republican primary. Now we have Bonner County Commissioner District 2. Go ahead, Jeff. 3 minutes, please.
Well, again, I just want to second that. Thank you for coming out. It's a beautiful day out there. It's probably one of the last things you wanted to do is sit in an auditorium and listen to people that are running for office, but it shows that you care about the future of the county, and I think that's really important. Again, I moved back here 7 years ago after being gone for a couple of decades, and knowing how bad things can get in other areas when we're not involved is really what drove me to be involved. And I didn't get to talk about it a lot earlier, but I've spent most of my adult life volunteering in organizations that are faith-based and freedom-based on behalf of landowners and Campaign for Liberty. And here in Idaho, when I got here in 2019 and COVID hit, we were working bringing potatoes over from farms in Reardon and Ford, Washington, for farmers that had no place to send them because the restaurants were closed. And we donated those to the community by the truck and trailer load. We worked in wildfire evacuations during the wildfires that we had over in my part of the county here in District 2.
keeping churches open that were being threatened to be shut down. These are important things that are valuable to me and that demonstrate a need to step up in the community and meet that need when government is out of control or when things are happening and people need help. Again, Bonner County is a unique place. It's wonderful. We're growing at 3% a year, and 80% of that is people coming from somewhere else. That's because they understand what we have here, and we've got to preserve it. I'm not a politician. This is the first time I've ever ran for office. I ran, was elected as a PCP in the Republican Party 20 years ago, but this is a continuation of my life passion of volunteering for freedom and being involved in the community to secure the liberties and the blessings that make America and Bonner County great. I've got endorsements from the assessor, the deputy assessor, Commissioner Korn. A lot of people that work in the county building are excited about me joining that team and working with them and fostering an environment where we can work together for the benefit of the people here in the county. And I think that's what it's about. And again, not losing our humanity through the campaign season. There's a lot of vitriol, there's a lot of things going on. If I'm not your guy, that's okay. Just let's show some respect, mutual respect and kindness to the people that are running, to the people that might be voting differently than us. We all have to live in this county after this election is over, because this is our home. And I think it's just really important that we remember that. So guys, again, Jeff Roberts, May 19th, I'll be on your ballot if you're a Republican. I hope to get your vote. I'll be out back if you've got questions for me. I've got a table out there with information. You can look me up on votejeffroberts.com or Jeff Roberts for Bonner on Facebook. Appreciate you guys. Hope to earn your vote. Thank you.
All right, I'm your current commissioner, Asia Williams, and I hope that you paid attention to the questions and answers, because I answered as a county commissioner. I do a lot of service in our community, but what we're looking for is who can manage what is required of a county commissioner. And that is what I've presented to you. So briefly, I'm going to go over some of the things that I've done. You guys asked for a focus on our budget. I committed to reducing the cost of litigation. I've sat in the gap on mediation. I took a $4.7 million exposure down to $1.5 million. That was in the insurance layer, but I was invited by Travelers to help reduce that cost. That's an amazing reduction. I have addressed litigation such that our current civil lit reserve is actually the highest that it's been in years. With respect to our insurance, I took our rating from 117 to 0.87. That means that we only have to pay 87% of claims instead of the 100% of claims. That's a significant amount. When I started, we had 8 pages of claims. We now have less than half a page of claims. That's action through understanding. I have an education and professional background that I have utilized as a county commissioner to reduce the tax burden on you. The other things that you requested was a focus on our budget. I became an internal auditor. You cannot just pay to become an internal auditor. You have to have the education that allows you to be qualified to sit. I am qualified through the Institute of Internal Auditors, and I have presented that. I have done a lot for Bonner County, and I've actually shown the positive improvement in our metrics that you guys should be judging us on. Although I appreciate the idea of, I'm a Jim State Gleaner, of bringing potatoes from Meriden, we do that. That's volunteer work. But the commissioner office is guided by Title 31. There was a difference between the two of these candidates. I focused on the job that I'm actually asking to be rehired for while telling you the evidence of what I've done that shows you that I am the best candidate. We're not just looking for a person. We're looking for somebody that understands the role of a Bonner County commissioner. I've been in the public listening to you before I ran. I've actually been in the public after I became a commissioner, holding town halls, commissioner chats, making sure that I understand and that you understand what's happening in the county building. I didn't come up here with negativity about my opponent. I didn't come out to try to smear my opponent, because I want you to focus on the positive work that I've done for Bonner County, and that you leave this room understanding that removal of me as your county commissioner will threaten your budget. It'll threaten your insurance ratings, because Bonner County is a self-insured county. Bonner County hasn't operated as a self-insured county until I became a county commissioner. And it's important for everybody to understand what that means. It negatively impacts your budget. You today have heard a lot in the difference between the two commissioners that are running. But only one of us has focused on what the job is. It's not a humanitarian job, it's a business job. I have been committed to the focus on Bonner County community for a very long time, and I hope to be reelected on May 19th as your District 2 County Commissioner, not based on likes of a Republican Party, which I will tell you, based on Anita Arendt, I brought a wealth of information, but based on the work that I have completed for you.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Bonner County Commissioner District 2, and that is the evening. Make sure you please bring the trash that you brought and throw it away on your way out so you can help us out. Appreciate you all coming tonight. Thank you very much. Don't forget to vote May 19th.